Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey, everybody. On this special guest episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, I have a very awesome individual. His name is David Meltzer. So David is the co-founder of Sports One Marketing and formerly served as CEO of the renowned Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Agency. And if you're not familiar with that, that was actually the inspiration for the movie Jerry Maguire. His personal and professional mission statement in life is to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. And this has led to his mission and focus, which is to empower over a billion people to be happy. And with that mission, his main focus is just to provide as much value as possible, which is why he's here and super excited to have him. David, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
I would not think of a better place to be or a better title for a podcast, because I think the authentic persuasion component really excites me because it goes to the core of what I believe everyone that's connected to everyone else should be focused in on.
Yeah, and it's so amazing. And for anybody watching or listening, definitely check out Connected to Goodness, which is literally what you're talking about, that framework of we're all connected, getting to the higher source, and then doing essentially the right thing, if you will, for people.
Yeah, I think in the last step that's applicable to what you talk about a lot, Jason, is being able to articulate and quantify the value to exceed what we're asking for. And there's two components incorporated in that. One is, can you articulate the value that you're going to give to exceed the value that you're going to ask for? But more importantly, how do you ask? And do you feel comfortable asking? And do you have credibility and emotional attachment? And what are the reasons in quantifying those and impacts and utilizing the features and benefits for the capabilities involved? All of these things are down to a simple understanding that things come through us in an abundant world, not to us like a victim or for us in a world of scarcity where there's not enough of everything for everyone.
Based on all of that, either where do you see most people focused on the wrong thing, especially in a sales role, or on the positive side, what is the like step or steps that you recommend, like if you had to give somebody one item to do?
Well, it's so interesting because I think if easiest thing to ask is to ask, meaning people don't focus in on what if I saw no gatekeepers? What if I saw sponsors and power sponsors all around me? What if I looked and sorted and searched and attracted open minds? What would be my statistical differential compared to trying to pre-qualify, create gatekeepers and resistance, trying to oversell, back and sell, manipulate, lie, and cheat my way to some sort of shared vision? For me, it's really simple. In person, on the phone, via email, and traditional media and social media, asking one simple question to open-minded people. Do you know anyone that could help me? There's open-minded people everywhere. And when I put it into the framework of, do you know anyone that could help me? I'm looking for someone that needs their dog to be walked, their hair to be cleaned, their real estate to be sold, whatever it may be. People cut off their hands despite their face. They diminish their capability and the number of people that they're sharing that capability with.
And I love that message too, because one of the things, it's also fascinating where it's better to give than to receive. If we go on that framework, when you ask somebody and then they can actually connect you with somebody else, they feel good about it as well.
Right. I think shifting that paradigm as well, you know, I've gotten into a little bit of trouble in my younger years. I always say one of the components of going bankrupt in my 30s, losing over $100 million, was understanding giving and receiving and the relationship, the symbiotic relationship between the two, because I would give to receive instead of an abundant, unconditional giving, trusting that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. I would give as a trade, a negotiation, which would allow me or sometimes encourage me to oversell, back end sell, be inauthentic instead of. I believe that those most confident are very comfortable receiving so they can give. As I stated earlier, I have shifted my paradigm from being a victim where everything happened to me. I lived in a why me world when I was a kid with a single mom, six kids, to a world where I was a millionaire, a world that I called the for me world, where I bought things I didn't need. And if I wasn't happy, I'd buy more things or different things I didn't need. And if I wasn't happy, I'd buy things to impress people or even impress people I didn't like. Then finally, I shifted that paradigm of receiving and giving, where I was fully confident that everything was going to come not to me or for me, but through me for others. So I got very comfortable with asking to receive so I could help more people, because you can't give what you don't have. And that was a really energetically important shift in the paradigm of my life. And it created an expansive, abundant, compound interest type of world that I live in now, not only making all the money back, but creating more abundance to help more people. I give my life away.
And I think what's interesting, and I've seen you do that and people that you surround yourself as well, where it's just that abundant mentality of just give it all away, right? It will attract the right people into your life. It'll provide value for others. And then we'll always come back karmically, right? Not even necessarily directly.
Yeah, with no expectation is the key. So I used to think that karmic link was the more I give, the more I would receive, and it became a negotiation or a trade. I had an expectation, even in giving to my family, an expectation of respect or acknowledgement or gratitude. I learned through my mother mainly what it's like to be unconditional. In fact, when I went bankrupt, I was running the most notable sports agency in the world, which you mentioned, Lee Steinberg. Not only did I have to tell Lee Steinberg and Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, who later would be my business partner, that I was bankrupt. So basically, the reason you hired me to have credibility that we weren't going to lose their kids' money, I now was bankrupt. But worse than that, I didn't go tell my mom, her shining star of six kids, that I was bankrupt. But worse than that, that I lost her house because I didn't take it out of my name. So I didn't go tell my mom. And when I told her, I thought she was going to be shattered, because I was living in this scarce world. And I literally thought she would take a victim mentality. I worked it up in my head. After all I've done for my mom, she's going to crap on me after, you know. And meanwhile, she didn't even flinch. All she said in complete kindness was, "Are you okay? Do you need any money? Is there anything I can do for you?" Meanwhile, I just told her she was evicted and I blew everything. And that was her response. That was unconditional love. That's unconditional giving. That's where I learned the lesson of abundance that has carried me over the last 15 years to a place that I never dreamed of.
And what I love about that too is that when we put that in the framework of salespeople, sellers, anybody with a sales aspect and what they focus on, is how much when you have that attitude and you're giving to other people and giving a value, even if it means helping them buy what you're offering, it's coming from a completely different place inside, right? A completely different alignment. One thing I have for you that I found really interesting, and I kind of have the opposite spectrum of perspective, is you call yourself an eagle, a natural born salesperson, right? And then there's journeyman, which is a term I'd never used before in terms of sales, which is somebody who has to learn it and grow and develop. I don't think of myself as that natural born salesperson, but you do. Where do you see that fitting in with people successful? I know you talk a lot about natural born salespeople who have to actually tone it back and be careful because they can really shoot themselves in the foot. And then what about those journeymen? How do they succeed, or what can they bring to the table in terms of sales?
I think everybody can bring to the table the ability to articulate more value than they're asking for. So a journeyman is going to have to utilize the credibility in a much more difficult manner than someone who's charismatic and an eagle and naturally can sell. They're going to win all the time on the first two components, which is they're going to have more credibility naturally, and they're going to have an emotional connection, which is truly their superpower. The difference of a journeyman is through hard work and professionalism, being more interested than interesting, they're capable of articulating that quantitative value of the reason someone can do it. They're going to show the impact in a much greater way. They're going to be able to know the features and benefits, and that authentic truth, integrity will provide a long-term credibility. And a journeyman can manage and develop a vision much better than an eagle. And a journeyman can create a pipeline that thrives, because not only are they going to sell, but they're going to deliver. A lot of problems with an eagle is they not only sell, oversell, back-end sell, lie, and manipulate, but they don't deliver, and they cut off a portion, if not all, of their pipeline eventually by being that eagle. Now, what I've learned over the years is you can, like Tom Brady, who is an eagle football player with a journeyman attitude, that's the key, true success, and eventually a journeyman can become an eagle, just through practice, repetition, et cetera. So they kind of meld into each other. They can reconcile into it, but naturally born people are eagles or journeymen. Very few eagles have that desire that they must be what they can be from an early stage of selling. They have to go through and learn how that pipeline is developed and thrives through managing develop a vision, which is not something that's considerate of a eagle, more of a journeyman.
If there's one thing I know, it's that sales is full of failure. Even if you're a Hall of Fame level sales professional, you can make a great income despite losing more than you're winning. If there's one aspect of sales that most people fear and what keeps a lot of people even wanting to get into sales, it's getting hit with objections. That is why I wrote my latest book, The Sales Consultant Guide to Overcoming Objections, Yours and Theirs. This is the first in my new series of short books, guides filled with what you need for helping you improve your selling effectiveness. No fluff, no long-winded stories, no filler to make it seem more valuable, just actual foundation-building strategies to help you become aware of the true nature of why your prospects bring up objections, the different type of objections, and then specific ways to overcome them that are universal to most any sales process, product, service, or style. Go to Amazon.com today and get your copy of A Sales Consultant's Guide to Overcoming Objections. Or if you'd rather, as a gift to the listeners of this podcast, email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com and I'll send you a complimentary full version of it as my thank you for listening and supporting this show. And you mentioned it about eagle, Tom Brady as an example, right? So him being an eagle, natural born talents, but then also a journeyman, which is that side where it's working on it and never stopping. One of the lines that you have that I love from your book is that you achieve your dreams is the extent that you take responsibility for what happens in your life. And what I see is a lot of salespeople who they're not open to feedback. They think everyone is there for them and they're the ones in charge. They don't like that feedback, criticism. They don't want to watch the game footage of their sales career in order to win. Where do you see that, or what advice, or what's the best way to help somebody kind of deal with that ego part? I know that you talk a lot about.
Yeah, very much one of my favorite things to talk about, because it's the greatest practice of my life that's made the biggest difference. And that's what I call practicing ending fear. And there's four steps to it. Number one is that most people go through their entire life and they don't identify what they're afraid of. And so if you can't identify that you're creating resistance, voids and shortages, interference between you and what already exists, or you and what you want, at the very least, you're making a huge mistake. So the first step is practice identifying fear. Two types of fear to identify. One is your primal fears, the Freudian fears, the flight, feed, fight, or the other F word that means procreate. And then you have the more subtle fears, the ones that destroy the amount of time, emotion, energy, money, and relationships in our lives. Let me list out a few, and you'll be familiar with most of them. The need to be right, the need to be offended, the need to be separate, the need to be inferior, the need to be superior, the need to feel worthy, the need to feel not worthy, the need to be frustrated, angry, worried, resentful, guilty. All of these needs, imagine if you added up the time, emotion, value, relationships, and money you wasted in what I call ego-based consciousness. So number one, practice identifying those. Two, instead of overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating when those come up, instead of thinking you can go over it, under it, through it, around it, find the little key and turn it. And the key is just stop. No resistance, just stop. Don't resist it, just stop. And then breathe through your nose, out through your mouth, and drop. Where do we drop? Counterintuitively, we drop to center, drop to neutral. So if you can stop, drop, down to center, or neutral, then you can roll back in the right trajectory according to your goals for the day, especially for salespeople who have different comp plans and different goals, hopefully every day. So I always say, when you're in ego-based consciousness, your mind, your body, your soul are on fire. All you got to do when you're on fire is stop, drop, and roll. So identify the fire, stop, drop, and roll. You'll be a remarkable success.
I love that so much. And it's a perfect visual, because I'm just imagining that ego, which is feeling like it's being attacked. It's feeling like it's on fire, right? It's there in protection, survival mode with all any of those fears that you talked about. And that stop, drop, and roll. kind of mode, physically or mentally, right? Like I'm almost thinking just like get down on the floor and do that kind of as that physical symbol as well.
That's great. Yeah, and I think a lot of things that we put on in our vision, we can manifest in a faster and more realistic when we can envision our vision. Like you are envisioning yourself on the actual floor. That actually, I think, helps to rapidly and accurately attract what we want.
Yeah. I mean, it almost takes me to like that, what Tony Robbins does before he gets on stage. He does this hand clapping thing. He does this motion, makes that switch for him, and then he's got the energy. It kicks on. I know that you have your cancel framework when you're getting into a mode where your mind is doing its thing. You're just like, nope, cancel. Let's move on, which I think is great. You have a triple A framework that you talk about a lot. I was thinking about that, especially in terms of salespeople, right? And that setting it up and then adjusting and all those steps. What would be good advice in there as far as like what they focus on, what they do, when to experiment, how often to kind of adjust and keep going?
Yeah, you know, I talk about 80% of the times on the first A, which is very counterintuitive to aggressive, proactive producers. Whether you're a journeyman or an eagle, to spend the majority of your time being more interested than interesting as a salesperson, especially, is very difficult, let alone anybody. And so I created a AAA philosophy that says, let's spend 80% of our time being more interested than interesting, getting alignment with what we want, who are the best people, how are we going to get there now, be present, and then practicing any fear. So utilizing that alignment, you're 80% of the way there. Then take action, right? So actually have a go, no-go plan or some sort of action plan in order to effectuate what you want. But always remember, right? You may be exactly where you want to be at the right place at the perfect time. You may have a plan to angle towards what you want. But if you want to make God laugh, come up with a well-developed plan. So the third A, adjustment, and preparing for adjustment is critical. So take alignment first, 80% of the time, then have a plan to create action. But most importantly, prepare for adjustment. I even have two routines in my day. I have a daily routine and an adaptable routine because I know, sure enough, most of my days do not turn out exactly as I plan them.
No matter what. And I love that line too. It's one of the reasons why I have resisted for a long time in making long-term plans, right? Like a five-year plan, a five-year goal, a business plan. Because it's like, it never works out that way. And I think there's that balance, like you said, which is making the plan, having it, and then adjusting and understanding that what you want isn't necessarily what God or the universe is going to give you.
But one thing I've learned over the years, and this is so great, Jace, to talk about, because I talked about being happy where you're at, knowing you're at the right place at the perfect time, doing everything you have, utilizing the AAA strategy to angle towards that 5 or 10 year plan. But the thing that I've evolved to over, especially the last 15 years, is this newfounded faith. And I don't necessarily always talk about faith in a religious sense, but more importantly, faith that I'm going to end up somewhere better than I anticipated. So where most people say, hey, this isn't what I wanted, I always look at my 5, 10, I have 20-year segmentation in my life, 20-year objectives, which I do take inventory of my values every day for, but I have complete faith, or as close to as I can, that I'm going to end up somewhere better than I could even plan. And I think when you break through and shift your vision into, hey, I'm just here for an instant between limitlessness and infinity, instead of I'm going to be limited. I coach so many different people. I had a very successful woman today tell me, well, I make a lot of money. I'm like, compared to what? Like, what do you mean you make a lot of money? Why? Because if Elon Musk made your money, he'd jump out the window. He'd be so depressed. And you're so proud of yourself. You're limiting yourself when you say that, right? You should be doubling the amount of money you make as fast as you can so you can help twice as many people as fast as you can. That's going to get you there in a world of abundance.
And was her statement relative to you wanting her to achieve more and she felt like she was good enough where she was, or she didn't want to hire you? What was the context of that limiting?
She works with me already. She was feeling guilty because she wanted more. She was like, business has never been better. Thank you, all this stuff. But I feel like I want more, but I make a lot of money. I'm like, you don't make a lot of money. You just make money. A lot is completely relative. And the minute you start comparing yourself to others, especially money, you're going to steal your joy. The only place that we need to live is by enjoying the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your own potential. I think this lady makes like $500,000 a year. Some people, their potential will never get them there. Other people will jump out of the window if they make $500,000 a year because it's that little. And it doesn't matter either way. Your happiness is determined whether you can enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of whatever your potential is. If I took basketball as my potential, I would be happy just being able to touch the back of the backboard. I would never have to dunk a basketball because that's, like, as far as my potential goes, an extraordinary feat.
So true. I love it. In the beginning, when I was introducing you, I talked about your mission, your statement that you have that's in your book. It's all over the place. It's what you live by and make known. Let's say most people in sales are just kind of going through life, going through sales. They have this target of, I just want to make a lot of money, again, to this relative point, but they don't have a guiding framework. I'm always amazed. One of the steps I do with people is even help them create a vision board because they have no mission or vision. Where do you feel that fits in? Or what tips do you have for people who are just like, I'm just a leaf in the wind going after money, if you will?
Yeah, well, money's important, right? Money's not going to buy you love or happiness, but it's going to allow you to shop. And so what you want to do is take it a step farther and look and see, as you say, whether it be a vision board, a journal, or just meditation or visualization, what is it that you want? And the money will allow you to shop for what you want. If you want to empower over 1 billion people, it's going to take a lot of money. If you want to build schools, community centers, if you want to help feed people, it's going to take money. And so money, instead of buying happiness or love, look at it as detaching your emotions from the outcome of money, but instead determine what power the money can do, because money allows you to shop. And I promise you, if you shop for the right things that are aligned with your values, you're going to be super happy. If you shop for things you don't need and different things you don't need and things to impress other people, even people you don't like, you're going to be very shallow, empty, and unhappy. I've lived both journeys. I totally understand how that happens. And the key to it is, are you capable of detaching your emotions from an outcome, but still drive with everything you have towards that outcome? That's a very difficult, counterintuitive, conflictual lifestyle of having enough drive, persistence, aggressiveness towards an outcome, but detach your emotions from the outcome and put it on the drive.
It reminds me of the quote that I love the most, always grateful, never satisfied, which is, I'm happy where I'm at now. And I know there's more. There's more I want to create,
better, right?
I want to do, better, but I'm always grateful for what I've got. Last couple questions, because I'm just so curious your thought on this. What does authenticity mean to you?
It's a frequency. Authenticity is your frequency. And it's one that does not want what other people want for you. It does not want what's missing in your life. It does not want what's not what you don't want in your life. And I think an authentic frequency, authentic vibration is who you are and what you want, who can help you get it, how you're going to get it, doing it now and practicing ending fear. I think there's three components to that frequency of authenticity. One is the strength of your signal. You can keep building stronger. The spectrum of your signal can keep broadening and getting wider. And the clarity of your signal, the clarity of your message can only get better. The more clear, balanced, and focused you are with the strong signal and a wide spectrum and a clear message, your authenticity will reach far beyond where you think.
I love it. What is your take or definition on persuasion?
Persuasion simply is being able to articulate a value greater than you're asking for. That's the most persuasive of all things. And carrying the energy as well to align with what you are presenting, of the value that you're presenting and what you're asking for. And the combination of asking and attracting, receiving and giving, all of those combined are enough, to me, are the articulation of that value.
I love it. So great. David, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing. For people to get a hold of you, you're really big on email. So people could email you, david@dmeltzer.com. You also have your text community, 949-298-2905. And then the other thing, which I've caught a couple of them, especially via Clubhouse, is your weekly free training. So if they go to dmeltzer.com/training, you know, it's part of your mission, right? To empower 1 billion happy people, give away value. The trainings are absolutely amazing. I love it. Any other places where you're doing fun, interesting things, people can find you?
at David Meltzer, Google David Meltzer. I give my books, guides, exercises, and trainings are free. If you email me to register, that's the easiest way. I answer everything myself. Instagram, LinkedIn, David Meltzer. Clubhouse, David Meltzer. So I appreciate everyone. I'm here to be of service and empower you simply to be happy, to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. And thank you, Jason, for giving me a platform that will help me meet my mission of empowering over 1 billion people to be happy.
Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.